Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, TNT. But actually, I'm going to have to say that Pastor Tasila will not be with me today. Well, I don't know. Maybe, hopefully, she might be able to dial in a little bit later. But right now, it's just me, so I hope you guys aren't too disappointed, okay? She's currently at the hospital with my sister-in-law. So we just want to say a quick prayer for Carla Latrice Hayes. And Father God, we just ask that you touch Carla. Lord God, we stand on your word. By your stripes, we are healed, Lord. We are healed by your stripes. You are the God that heals. You are our healer. You are Jehovah Rapha, and we believe in you, O God, and we rely on you for healing. So we ask that you touch Carla even tonight, Lord. Touch her, let her be healed in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with her, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, it is done. Praise the Lord. Around this time, Pastor Tasila would be saying hi and welcoming everyone. So I'm going to say it for her.
Hi, everybody, and welcome, everybody.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now here's what I would like for you to do. Pick up your phones or grab your computers. Go to your inbox on your computers and actually send somebody a message. Tell them to dial in. Dial in for today's program. You don't want to miss it. So here's the number for them to dial in. It's 646-668-8537. Once again, 664-668-8537. So tell them to dial in or just click on the picture or the link wherever you see the post of this particular show. You might see it on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. So wherever you see it, go ahead and click on the link or the link or the picture, or just go ahead and dial in the number. All righty. Also, keep in mind that we are on HSBN.TV. Our show on HSBN.TV is called The Message of Life. You can catch us on YouTube or on Facebook Live. So stay tuned for Facebook Live. It's usually on a Tuesday when we do Facebook Live, but just, you know, stay alert on that so you can catch the show, all right? And tune in to that. Also, you can find The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. You can find it on other media and social apps, for example, to name a few, On Demand. So our show is on demand. Roku, iHeartRadio, and many, many more. So just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tecila McCain, and you just go ahead and listen and be blessed, okay? Click on whichever program you want to. All right. Also, we are inviting you to come and worship with us. We are Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. So if you are in the California area, if you're in California, come and visit us, especially in the Inland Empire area, just about an hour or so east of Los Angeles. So just come on and worship with us, okay? Okay, so stay right there. Don't go away. We will be right back. Stay there.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, new King's born today. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Shepherds watched their flocks by night. They saw a bright new shining star and heard a choir from heaven sing. The music came from afar. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king's born today. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night. Hallelujah. They found no place to bear her child. Not a single room was in sight. By and by they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn. And in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy child was born. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen to what they say. That man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Said man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Praise the Lord. A little something for Christmas for you. Welcome back. You are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tecila. In this case, Tecila's not with me today, but she's always with me. Also, we're known as TNT. All right, look out, TNT. Wait a minute. What's going on? Do you guys hear that? Hold on for a minute. What is that? You hear it? You know what that means. We can't have a TNT moment, and this isn't TNT time, but what is it? Well, what it is our special guest. Our special guest tonight is Apostle Kipling Taylor. Apostle Kipling Taylor, dear friend of mine from way back. And he's with us today. How are you, Apostle? How are you doing today?
I am blessed. God bless you, man of God.
God bless you, man. You know, I want to tell the people a little bit about you because there's so much about this man. You just won't believe it, okay? Apostle Kipling is the general overseer of God's army of churches with ministries established in Liberia, East Kenya, India, and Pakistan. The GOACI was established on November 14th, 2010. November 14th, 2010. The prayer line component, the soldiers' call to worship, started on February 7th, 2011, meeting Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Now, you can catch this Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern, okay? So you just check your time zone like you do here. Just check your time zone and dial in. Okay, in July of the same year, the Bible study component, the Walk to Wisdom Bible Study, was started on July 9th, 2011, and as of March 12th of this year, 2022, he now teaches Bible study to a congregation in India. Apostle Taylor is also a 16-year veteran of the U.S. military. We have a hero in the house, everybody. 10 years active in the United States Navy, 2 years in the USN Reserve, and 4 years in the CAARNG. While in the
California,
Navy, what is it?
California Army National Guard.
The Army. What is that? 4 years in the Army National Guard.
Yes, sir.
Is that what you said, Apostle?
Yes, sir. California, the CAARNG is California Army National Guard.
Oh, okay. Okay. And while in the Navy, Apostle Taylor became a member of the Crisis Response Force, the CRF/SWAT team. It is where he began to understand the importance of warfare. After his time in the Navy, he joined the California Army National Guard as a member of the 2nd Battalion, 185th Regiment, Bravo Company, and obtained the title of Gunner/Tank Commander. Oh, wow. He is a former manager for the transit system of Atlanta, Georgia, Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority, more commonly referred to as MARTA, where he worked until November 1st, 2021, where he retired from. Apostle Taylor is a lifelong learner with a Bachelor of Science degree in management and a Master of Science degree in organizational leadership. In January of 2023, he will enter the DBA program to achieve his Doctorate of Business Administration. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Apostle Kiplin Taylor. Yay! You hear the crowd? Yay! The hand claps and all of that. Praise the Lord. How are you, man?
I'm doing
and,
well.
Welcome. I'm doing great, man, and just I'm so happy to have you on the show. I don't know if a lot of our listeners already know that you've been on our show before, but for some of you who don't know, this man has, I mean, he has a testimony, and he shared his testimony for a few shows that we had. You went over your testimony. I'm interested today and what the Lord has laid on your heart in this hour for God's people. What's going on? What's God telling you in this hour?
You know, let me just do this really quick, guys. I always want to start everything with prayer, if you don't mind, and I want to enter into prayer.
Yeah.
The essential. It is it is paramount to our Christian walk, and we must begin everything with prayer. You know, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, and he was fasting and praying, being tempted of the enemies. We'll start with prayer. Father God in heaven, Lord, I just thank you right now and truly praise your holy name, Father God. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your people. Lord God, amen, hallelujah. I ask, God, that you would speak through me, to me, and for us, Lord God, tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I yield now to the power of your Holy Ghost. I ask you to take control of my mind and of my lips, giving me clarity of thought and of speech this evening in the name of Jesus. Lord, I love you. I want to be used by you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We come before you humbly, as we know how, in Jesus' name. Amen. Man of God and all that are listening, it is evident at what we see going on in our country and around the world, and that the Bible is being fulfilled right before our eyes. Now, if we're not paying attention, there is a Jesus was teaching in Matthew 25 about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And if you study that, it's talking about the five wise were those that are in the church of God that are ready to go. Their lamps are trimmed. They're full of the anointing. They're operating not out of themselves, not out of their own agenda, but they're operating out of the power of God, the Shekinah glory, if you will. Then the five foolish virgins were those that thought that they had time to go and play and do everything under the sun that they thought they had the right to do, not preparing for anything. But it did. But there's a caveat. It says that all 10 of the virgins were sleeping. So that meant that the church, in essence, whether saved or religious, has been put to sleep. There are many stories and many thoughts that come into play when we start talking about how the church has been put to sleep. In Matthew 13, it talks about the tares and the wheat. Whenever God names a specific thing in the Bible, through study and rightly divide and exegete the scripture, we are to go and study those particular entities that he mentioned. So tares, if you will. We know that wheat, right?
Yeah.
And so tares, and the tare bush is also a form of grass. If you saw it in your yard, you would call it crabgrass or weed, if you will. It's referred to in the Bible or referred to in study as a darnel. It's a weed. But here's the key that we have to see in all that it's saying here. Because everything that the enemy does is mimicking what God has already established. Satan has no ability to create anything, and he himself is a created being. And so everything that he does, he copycats God. And oftentimes tell people that when I'm ministering to them, never accept the first thing that shows up because it's the counterfeit. And always the enemy will try and cause us to bite on the first thing that shows up so that we're deceived. And so now when we look at this this weed, this darnel, there are three characteristics or three events that happen from the gestation or ingesting of the seeds of the darnel. Now, the wheat bush, or the wheat bush and the tare bush, they produce seeds. And there's only a slight variation in color from these seeds. So you have to be an expert in looking at and noticing the difference, the slight variation in color. Now, what will happen when you ingest the seeds from the tare bush? The first thing it does is it makes you extremely sleepy. And the third thing it does, it makes you violently sick. And then the second thing is violently sick. And the third thing is it causes death. So now when we look at that from a spiritual standpoint, there are those that are in the church. And this is also according to Jude 1:4 about those spirits or those men that have crept in unaware. Those are old demons, old traditions, old ideologies that have crept in unaware. How did they get in? They got in because when we look at Matthew 25, the church is asleep. But how did the church come to the point of being asleep? Well, the chief weapon today that the enemy is using against the church of God is deception. And this deception is coming out of the mouth of people that are in leadership positions. And they're called any other title, weeds or darnel. And what happens is they have begun to speak words, and people are sitting under their authority and have been put to sleep by the words that are coming out of their mouth. And then, of course, what we see, and put to sleep, but then when waking up, become violently sick or ill. Now, what happens with that? That means that now different ideologies and doctrines are not adhering to sound doctrine, not being able to receive the truth, because now you've been prepared to accept the lie. And so now we have itching ears and people listening to things, every whim of doctrine blown here or there, because there's no standard, because you've been listening to the wrong folks. And because the church, has not employed the spiritual gift of discernment and accepting whomever is in front of them, just because it came across the pulpit. You see, one thing that we fail to do in the church is crack the book. Open the Bible and study for context. We will oftentimes take a verse of scripture out of context and build around that verse of scripture a ministry. And then we go out and propagate that ministry erroneously or ignorantly, defiling others. And so here we have the stage set. Now I want to go back to the Old Testament, because we serve a God of specifics. Everything that God speaks is specific. He's not a God of innuendo. And let me just read a quick definition of innuendo. I'm sure everyone knows, but I just want to read this so you can hear. It's the third definition of the word innuendo. It says, an oblique hint, a remote allusion or reference, usually derogatory to a person or thing not named, or insinuation. So that means that it's a roundabout way. We're not necessarily sure, but maybe might. But no, that's not the God that we serve. In fact, that's what Satan is. He deceives, lies. And if you're not savvy enough to understand what you're hearing, then you will be taken hostage and taken as a captive. And did not Jesus preach what was quoted in Isaiah? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has called me to preach the gospel and to come to set the captives free, right? And so their people, souls, are captive. And they're captive because they've been put to sleep or they've been listening to the wrong words. So let's go back to the Old Testament. I want to point something out. In the book of Exodus, because we have a problem. We have, through the spirit of religion and denominationalism, we have been deceived. Again, lies. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at, well, I'll really read all of chapter 1, but specifically, Paul talks starting at verse 10, I'm just going to turn over there real quick, and then we'll get back to the book of Exodus. Let me get there real quick here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. This is what he says. And now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. That means the same assessment. A judgment is not condemnation for those that think it. Declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, and that there are contentions among you. Now, I say this, every one of you, everyone saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. And so he asked a rhetorical question in verse 13. He says, is Christ divided? That's a rhetorical question. And we know that Christ is not divided. He says, was crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ has sent me to baptize, Christ has not sent me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So what he's saying there is essentially, with all of this denominationalism that we have in the midst of the Church of God, it has created division in the midst, and we're arguing over things that should be settled. I was having a conversation just this earlier today with a young man, and I was explaining to him how we're not to get involved in paganism. And that even with what's coming up, you see, again, I said earlier that God is a God of specifics. He has told us in his Bible what time of year that Jesus was born. So we have been indoctrinated into a belief where we're now practicing pagan religion and pagan rituals. And let me just help you here. The month, December 25th, so everybody's getting prepared to celebrate Christmas. But my question to you, as Paul asked a rhetorical question here, is Christ divided? If December 25th is about Christ, why is the world celebrating it? And it's a Christian day or a day of remembrance or a day of commemoration to the birth of Christ. Why is the world who denies Christ celebrating it? You see, we are called to be sanctified. That means set apart. That means that we don't do what the world does. We're sanctioned. God has made us different from the world. And we have to stand separated from the world. In fact, he says this, love not the world nor the things thereof. And so we have to understand now, okay, what is this really about? What is happening here? We are an army, and by definition of army, we fight. Now, we don't fight like the natural military. And as you said and you read in my bio, you know, I was a natural soldier before I became a Christian soldier. And it is right. It is where I learned the understanding and the teaching of warfare and what it means to notice those that are around you. In fact, he even says that, and he's speaking relatively to leadership, but he says, know them that labor among you. You have to use discernment to make sure that it's not a spy sitting next to you. And here's the thing that you must understand about spies. Spies, you'll never know a spy is a spy until he's ready to kill you. And so they do everything just as you did. And we can pick that up and read that in 2 Timothy chapter, where it talks about having the form of godliness but denying the power. Those are spies in the midst. Those are the tares that act. They mimic what the church is doing. Listen, they can preach, and we know that by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes and the elders, the religious right. Those are the five foolish virgins. They can preach, they can teach, they can sing, they even shout just like those in the church. Why? Because in order to deceive you, I must have you relate to me as if we are one. And so now let's go back to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, the Passover is established. And see, there are some folks that believe that the Old Testament is done away with. And I am not one of those proponents. I believe that the Bible Genesis 1 and 1 to Revelation 22 and 21 is for the church. And so, again, the chief weapon the enemy is using is deception. And I don't know about you, but I was always told that the Old Testament was for the Jewish people and not the New Testament church. But let me just share something with you here. In Exodus chapter 12, listen to this. So God begins in verse 5. He says, your lamb, well, first of all, let's go back to verse 4. And if, well, let's do it. Speaking unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for that lamb, or for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him's house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Because God does not waste anything, okay? Nor should we. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Why did he mention the goats? Because at a yearling, the goat has not had opportunity to be tainted. It's still pure. Because goats spiritually represent the kingdom of darkness. But in this context, it has not been tainted. It is still it's still usable. So he says you will take it from either the sheep or the goats. So then he goes on to say, and you shall keep it until the 14th day. Mark this day, the 14th day. Why is that important? I'm going to show you right now. The 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides post of the and of the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in the night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread. And the reason why they have unleavened bread, remember, leaven in the spiritual realm is sin, and leaven is what causes things to be destroyed. So it's sin. So they want unleavened bread. That means no sin. Everything has to be pure. So symbolically, and let me just go back and say this real quick. The Bible is three things. It is prophetic, it is literal, and it is symbolic. And we must understand which voice is speaking as we're studying. Is it the prophetic voice? Is it the symbolic voice or is it the literal voice? And the reason why that's important, because when we are now practicing in our modern day what we call churches, and we are practicing what we call communion, comes out of Catholicism. And we didn't even know it. And it was a literal translation because they had not the Holy Spirit to interpret to them what it really meant. So now we have people every first Sunday eating a cracker and drinking grape juice or wine, if you will, every first Sunday. But I'm going to tell you why that's not correct. Because we serve a God of specifics, not innuendo. Okay? Now watch this. Okay, so he says on the 14th day it was for killing, paint the blood on the doorpost, right? And to eat the flesh that night, roasted with fire, bread, and with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs is what symbolically means is we're going to suffer hardships. That's what the bitter herb is there for. The bitter herb represents hardship. So this lines up with what he said in John 16:33. He said, beloved, in me you might have peace, but in this world you're going to have much tribulation. It's coming. But that's important because it's not for our detriment, but for our betterment. When we're in training, if you were an Olympian, you had to train, you'd have to run, you'd have to lift weights. You know, that's all hardship because you're trying to get strengthened so you'll be able to have endurance, right? And so we know that Isaiah 40 talks about that. been able to run and not faint, you know what I mean, not growing weary. But you can't do those things if you never suffer. If you never go through hardships, you'll never understand what it means to be delivered from a situation. If you never are impacted by anything, then when it comes time to be impacted, you won't stand. So this is what hardship is for. And again, it's part of the ritual, if you will, of Passover. So then he talks about here, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And this, thus shall you eat it with your own loins girded. Why? Because it's getting ready to get, something's getting ready to happen. Be prepared. Your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat of it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now watch. I will pass through the land of Egypt, that's this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all of the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and plague, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now listen to this, verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Let's go real quick over to Revelation chapter 22. Let's see here. I believe it's Revelation 22, verse 17 through 21. It says, the Ruach, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come, and let one of you, let one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes freely take the water of life. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his share in the tree of life and the holy city, which are written in this book. So essentially, Pastor, what's being said here is you and I, we serve a God of specifics. And he says right here in verse 14 that this is something that is to be done as an ordinance. That means that's a law. That means that it's written. It can't be unwritten. It cannot be changed. It is it is established, and it is to be done forever. So now there are some, I'm sure I can hear you already in the background. Well, wait a minute. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? As often as you do this. Okay, first and foremost, understand this. He said the 14th day of Nisan, the first month is the month of Nisan. On our calendar, that is the month of April. Remember, we serve a God of specifics. So if we read the story of Jesus, it said that every year, he and his mother and father, or his family, went to Jerusalem, or to Bethlehem, excuse me, to commemorate or to celebrate Passover. What day was to be done? The 14th day of Nisan. So on the night that Jesus was arrested was the 14th day of Nisan. Why? Because God does not violate what he already established, what he spoke. He will never go back against his own word. In fact, he swore upon the two immutable things, himself and his word. So he cannot, nor will he ever, violate his own word because he is God. And so now we don't have the right to not do a thing or to change the date of a thing. Now I'm jumping around here because I have some rhetorical questions. Because you have to use critical thinking when you're reading the Bible. if you don't ask a question and you just simply stay on the surface, you will never, ever see the hidden mysteries of the Word of God, because God is in the deep places. He said, the deep calleth unto the deep. You have to go deep. That means 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not eisegesing the word of God, but exegesing scripture. That means that we have to dissect it down to the very end. Because why? It is important. Now, why is that important? Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Here in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1 through 9. That's what it says. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, that's the word, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet, not the shofar. Now listen, because there are still ministries that are blowing the shofar. And that's fine, because if you don't know any better, then you can't do any better. If you haven't studied it, but the shofar is the trumpet. It is the sounding of the trumpet, the ram's horn. But that ram's horn is symbolic of your mouth. When you open up and sound the alarm, wake up! Or Psalms 133 and 1, behold, that is a command language to listen. I need your fully undivided attention. So the watchman in the watchtower, right? Not the Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. From their territory to make him their watchman. When he sees the sword come upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But, is a conjecture, right? He who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you see, as leaders in the church of God, we have a weighty responsibility on our shoulders. And that means at all costs, we must tell the truth, because we have already been deceived through innuendo and lies. We have to tell the truth beyond a shadow of doubt. We have to sound the alarm, because this is a war over souls. And if we don't sound the alarm and that soul is taken in captivity and dies in captivity, their blood is required at our hand. And I got to tell you, quite frankly, man of God, I don't want to go to hell for anybody that I did not warn, and I was chosen or called to be a voice in the wilderness. I don't want to have to,
right.
No, sir, because you see, unlike the American judicial system, where you're tried and convicted, but then you can appeal your conviction, well, once you're standing before God and he says, depart from me, you work of iniquity, for I never knew you. Well, God, I cast out devils in your name. Bye. See you later, Felicia. Once it's said and done, it's done. There is no coming back. There is no repentance. There is no release. And pray for me. I got this cough here. I'm sorry. We have to understand the responsibility. When we were called out of darkness into the marvelous light of God, we took on the responsibility to warn people of their way. Now, earlier I made mention of pagan rituals. Let me just give you a little history, because there are a lot of people that believe that Constantine was saved. Constantine was not saved. Constantine was a pagan. And Constantine moved the date of the the celebration, if you will, from January 6th to December 25th. Why did he do that? He did that because he wanted to join the cult of the unconquered son, not S-O-N, but S-U-N. And so the cult of the unconquered son, well, that the cult of the son or the unconquered son is Nimrod. And it goes all the way back to the story of how he died and he was dismembered. That even speaks to the Masonic order, because the only thing that they found after his uncle cut him up was his phallic symbol. That's why the Masonic order, the male side of the Masonic order, everything that they build is a phallic symbol. The worshiping of the male member. All right? And then the female symbol of that, which there are a lot of folks walking around here talking about, it's an African symbol. No, it's not. That is the symbol of the woman and the vagina. And so a lot of the stuff that comes out of ancient, what is ancient Egypt, but it was called, help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, my God.
Babylon.
I think of the name of it. No, well, it was Babylon, but there was a Babylonian name for it. And that Babylonian name, can't think of it. But yes, that was ancient Egypt. That was the beginning of ancient Egypt, Babylon. And today, Babylon, we know, is Iraq. In fact, when you go back to Genesis chapter 2, it mentions the Euphrates River. The Euphrates River is only in one place on earth, and that is Iraq. That should also tell you why we've been in Iraq fighting, because the devil knows the history, and so he's trying to destroy. In fact, when we went into Iraq this last time for the weapons of mass destruction, the first thing that they destroyed was the antiquities. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how a museum piece is a weapon of mass destruction and why they needed to be destroyed, because that's the record of man. That goes back to the very beginning of the Bible. So if you are not savvy enough to see these, you have to use critical thinking when studying the Word of God. You cannot just use Mary had a little lamb, his fleece is white as snow, and yada, 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 yada. That's Sunday school stuff. That's stuff that will keep you eating the milk of the Word than the meat of the Word. And we need to graduate from the milk of the Word into the meat of the Word. But the only way you can do that, you have to grow up. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I became a man, I put away childish things. That means maturity. That means your diet will change as you grow. That means that as you're reading the Word of God, you will start seeing things that you never saw before. You can go back right now and read the Word of God, something that you read all the time, and every time you read it, you'll get something different out of it. Why? Because you're growing spiritually, and God is speaking to you now as you're able to receive it. You see, when you were a babe, you couldn't receive meat because you would choke on it. So as you grow in your Christian growth, God begins to reveal more and more to you from the Word, from His Word. Excuse me. All right. So, end times. We are now in the time of travail. The earth is in travail right now. That means that, and for those of you that are women and mothers, you know what I'm talking about, birthing pains. You're in that period right before delivery. And so what's happening now, the reason why we're seeing so much violence in the midst of us is because the people who don't know God, and some that do, are acting out what they're feeling in the atmosphere. The scientists are calling it global warming. Oh, yeah, it is global warming. But it ain't because your car is putting out CO2. It's global warming because God is smoking the fires, because he said the next time that he destroys the earth, it will be by fire. And so, yes, the polar caps are melting. And so the world, because they have denied God, they don't have the spiritual insight to know what's happening. And so they're simply looking at what they can see with their natural eyes and natural ears, and it is failing them because they're missing it spiritually, okay? So right now, spiritually, we are in Daniel chapter 2 at the image of that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. It had five dynasties, five time periods. You had the head of gold, the chest of silver, the torso of bronze, and the legs of iron. Now, all four of those dynasties, you see no action from the people. There's no interaction. It's totalitarianism, which means that the government was in total control. It was what's the word I'm looking for here? It wasn't a monarchy, but it was oligarchy. I think that's what. Yeah, where it's a one leader ruling the people, and it ruled by an iron fist. So that was Nebuchadnezzar. That was the Medes and the Persians. That was Alexander the Great, and then that was the Roman Empire. So now we are in the feet of iron and clay. And so you see there that the government is broken up. It's really confusion, and that's where we're at right now. We're in the time of confusion right now, that people don't know up from down, left from right, forwards or from backwards, because it has been the strong delusion has been put into the atmosphere that people are not seeing. There was a once a time where we were. If you were a part of the church, you were highly respected, but not anymore, because we've seen that those tares that we talked about earlier and put in positions of leadership have brought disdain to the church. And now people say, well, wait a minute. If they're acting this way and they're in the church and this is what we do out here in the world, why do I have need to go to the church? Those spies have released their mission to bring disdain to the church and keep people or cause people not to look at the church for a place of safety. You see, the church is supposed to be safe haven, the sanctuary, the congregation, safe haven. You can go into a house of worship today and get cut up worse in the house of worship than you would out on the street. Go in and step on somebody's feet. They'll call you every name in the book. All right? So, again, we're in Daniel 2. So we're seeing all of this confusion. And you've seen now the protest in the streets. You know, of course, after George Floyd was killed, all those protests. And here's another thing. I want everybody to hear me in this. Because everybody's running around here talking about Black Lives Matter. I want you to go to that website, blacklivesmatter.com, and read what they are about. They're not talking about black people. The Black Lives Matter movement is talking about homosexuality and how they're important and how they matter in the great scheme of things. The women that started the movement were all lesbians. So again, we get caught up in innuendo. And we get caught up in lack of understanding. Did he not say that in Hosea 4 and 6? For lack of knowledge, my people perish. And so the Black Lives Matter movement, nothing to do with us as a black people. He's talking about black hearts, dark hearts. That's the Black Lives Matter. People that are not living according to the word of God. That's what it's talking about. And you can go there and read their about section. And it will tell you everything that they want to get rid of marriage. They want to get rid of they say the narrow view, basically Christian world view of what marriage is. They want to get rid of that. That's why we now have this bill before Congress where they're talking about the Marriage Equality Act, where they're trying to say that marriage is whomever want to get married. If you want to marry your dog, you can marry your dog. That's what it's coming to. The defense institutions, and because we're not steady, because we're buying into this. Now, I also want to share this with you, and this. You know, we only have a few minutes.
Here. We got about five minutes.
Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Let me go there real quick, because we're all soldiers in God's army. I know this is quite a bit. Maybe I should have to come back at some point. Because this is really deep stuff here, and and we'll do that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right, call the Bible police. Somebody stole it out of my Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. That's what it says. No man,
you're going to...
no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, you read that in another translation. It says, no man that wars will entangle himself with civilian affairs. Now, why is that? What does that mean? Political, politics. We're not supposed to be involved in that. Yes, we went and we protested for the right to vote, but we were bamboozled. Even in 1968, Lyndon Baines Johnson initiated the 501c3 because he wanted to silence the church because the civil rights movement came out of the church. And then he dispatched agents across the United States to pastors that were not learned and or learned, if you will, and told them that they needed to come under the 501c3. It's Code of Federal Regulations 501, subsection 3. And when you read it, it is the IRS. What that means now is if you're 501c3, you are now controlled by the government. And if the government says you are not to preach or teach about a certain thing and you do it, you lose your tax-exempt status. But here's the key. You are already tax-exempt because you're faith-based. They cannot tax the money that's already been taxed in the church because it was already taxed. So the thing is that we've been caught up in a trap. It was a quagmire. It was quicksand, and we didn't know. But again, we didn't have anybody studying this stuff. Had nobody critical thinking, asking questions about this before they jumped into it. And here's the thing that is the trap. If your ministry is under a 501c3 and you want to come out of that 501c3, you cannot use any of the equipment that you now have in that ministry. You have to liquidate everything out of that ministry. You can't keep it. You got to give the money to another ministry. The equipment, everything has to be given away. You cannot use it to go start another ministry. How about that? So we're talking about traps. Oh. We're talking about end time and how the church is being attacked and didn't even know it because you had spies in the midst. You had people that have come in and deceived the church through lies. And there's so much stuff that has been put in place that we don't know up from down, forwards from backwards, left from right. We're simply trying to figure it out, and it's almost too late to figure it out. So
well,
we have about
a minute or so left. Could you say a quick prayer for the overall Christian church? Very quick prayer. We're almost out of time.
All right, Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you right now, Father God, and we pray, Lord, that you would remove the scales from the eyes of those of us in the church, Lord God, that we'll be able to see the devices of the enemy, that we understand that we serve a God of specifics, not a God of innuendo, and that we need to know times and seasons and dates, and these things are there for a reason. God has never told us to go out into the world and to do anything that the world has, but he says to abstain from the traditions of men, to do not follow the world and what it's doing. Do not touch the unclean things. So, Father, we pray now that eyes and ears will be open tonight, that the questions will be asked, and that we'll have the platform to then teach and to preach what is the truth in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. We praise you. Lord, I pray for Pastor Timar and Pastor Tresila right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen again.
Amen. Well, this has been a very informative evening, a very deep night. Thank you, Pastor, for agreeing to come on and sharing what God has shown you and sharing it with us. And we'd like to thank everyone who have joined in, those of you who have dialed in, and those of you who are listening from your computer. God bless you. We will be back next week, and we will see you on Christian Talk. Bye-bye.